Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Bring a little sunshine indoors with the exciting new arrivals in store or online at harrycurry.com. Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Summer's here. Spruce up your bedroom for less with our sizzling summer sale offers at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannon with you until 3 o'clock today. And I want to say hello and good afternoon and congratulations to Melissa.
Oh, thank you so much.
Melissa, I'm congratulating you because you got married on the 23rd of June.
Yes, I did.
And you flew in from San Francisco for your wedding here.
Yes, I did. Yes, because I married an Irishman. So.
Okay. How did it go?
It was an absolutely beautiful day. My in-laws did a great job of planning it.
And how many of you came over from San Fran to the wedding, Melissa?
That's probably about 10 to 15 of us. And we were all impacted by the Aer Lingus strike.
That was my next question. How many of you were flying Aer Lingus? Okay, so when did you realize that the strike was imminent, or that the dispute, I should say, was on the cards and might have an impact?
The first time I heard about it was what I had done is booked a flight from SFO to JFK with a couple of my friends, and we were going to have like a long layover and explore the city before we head from JFK to Dublin. And we were on our way.
Oh, okay. So just in case people are not familiar with the airport, so you were going from San Francisco to New York, and you were going to spend a few days in New York en route to Ireland for the wedding.
Yes, exactly. And this we're not even a few days. We were just going to spend a few hours.
All right. But you were just going to have a little break in the middle there and add it to it. That
we were on,
became a problem.
Yeah, we were on our way to San Francisco Airport when we were, two of us out of the three of us were notified that the flight from New York to Dublin was canceled. We were rebooked on a flight leaving the next day. So not even the day we had originally planned to leave. And we didn't have anywhere to stay. We didn't have anywhere to go. So we immediately called and tried to get rebooked on all of us on the same flight because we were all traveling together. And I managed to get to somebody, but it wasn't a direct flight. I ended up having a layover, an hour layover in Manchester. One of my other traveling companions, he got rebooked on a direct flight, leaving a couple hours earlier than that. So we were all separated at that point.
I'm just wondering though, you're like all your wedding gear. Did you have your dress with you, or how were you traveling with your bridesmaids and your own dress?
I had sent it over earlier, but my bridesmaid had packed their dresses and stuff. And when we got to JFK, she was pressured into checking the bag, even though she had no intention of checking the bag because it was a carry-on. Mm-hmm. And then they left the bag in JFK. It didn't even make it to the Manchester flight. And so we didn't realize that until we got to Dublin. And the bag went missing for about 3 days.
Okay. And the bridesmaid dress was in the bag?
Yes.
Okay, just another added little pressure point to the run up to the wedding. So you're in Manchester. You did get your connecting flight back to Dublin.
Yes, we did.
What stage are you now? How close to the wedding are you?
So that was on Wednesday before the wedding. So what, the 18th, 19th?
Yeah.
18th for the Manchester. It was 18th.
And all the other guests who were coming in from the States, how did they get on?
Yeah. I don't believe they had any disruptions getting there because the only flights that were disrupted from North America were from JFK. So we just got unlucky on that. And then the only time that the rest of my family have been affected is going home. They were planning on doing some traveling within Europe because, why not? And so they had booked a flight out of Amsterdam to go home, and they have yet to make it to Amsterdam, even though they had hotel rooms and they had to rebook hotel rooms here in Dublin. And it's just been a whole mess.
So, yeah, so they thought after the wedding, we have a little bit of extra time. We're this side of the world. Let's see a bit of Europe. So they had booked on to stay in Amsterdam for a few days and fly home, fly back to the States from there. Was that the plan?
Yes, that was the plan.
So, as you say, that plan has now gone up in smoke because they couldn't even get as far as Amsterdam.
Yeah, last I heard, my mom, my grandma, and my mom's friend were stuck in the airport. They were just waiting to see. They may have gotten on a flight now. I haven't heard from them in a couple hours. But as of this morning, they didn't know if they were going to make it to Amsterdam.
Oh, they were in Dublin. And you're in the States now, Melissa. You're back at home.
No, I'm actually planning on leaving tomorrow.
All right, okay. Okay, yeah. But oh my God, so you're all over the place. Are you getting back on the flight that you had originally intended to be on?
No, that flight was canceled. And then I was rebooked on a flight that had a layover in Barcelona, so it wasn't a direct flight. And so now I'm, me and my friend, who was also, the flight was canceled but wasn't notified until today, when I was notified a few days ago, her flight was rebooked for the 8th, when she was already supposed to be home and back at work. So we decided to do a direct flight from Dublin to SFO because those flights have not been affected for some reason. And so we're hoping to get on that flight tomorrow.
And did that cost you a lot of money?
Yes, it cost me almost $1,000.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm a server, so I can't afford that.
And how have you been organizing are you able to rebook through the app? Like, are you talking to people in Aer Lingus? How has that been going?
So when our flight from Dublin to JFK was originally canceled, we spent about an hour trying to get a hold of somebody online, and we were sent on like a revolving door of, please press 1 for this. And then it would be like, we'll send you a link. And then it would hang up on us. No link was sent. And then when we would try to go online, we would get an error message saying that there's too many people on the site, so you can't do anything. And we were just trying to be proactive because we saw on the website that it was going to be canceled. So we were like, okay, well, let's just get this rebooked now so we don't have to worry. And it wouldn't even let us get past the initial like change flight option.
Right. And have you been, did you eventually find people to talk to you in Aer Lingus? Because obviously you've had a lot of dealings with all of those guests now.
The only time that I've actually spoken to somebody from Aer Lingus is my father-in-law went up to talk to the chief financial officer. He found the email for them. And only when he laid into them and told them our situation, they finally gave me a call, asked for my reference number, said, okay, we'll take care of it, and then hung up on me.
Okay. So it's been overall a very stressful few days. I hope it hasn't ruined the wedding for you, though, Melissa.
No, the wedding was beautiful. And what's funny enough is we went on our honeymoon and we flew with Ryanair, and it was smooth sailing. So
where did you go on the honeymoon?
We went to Scotland.
Ah, beautiful.
Yeah. And yeah, it was beautiful.
And flew with Ryanair over and back, and no issues at all.
Mm-hmm. No issues at all.
Right. The people who have flown with you, I mean, because, you know, it is, I suppose I should say, the airline is dealing with thousands and thousands of customers who are not only being, you know, bumped off flights or whatever, but are worried like yourselves at what's coming. So, we have to give them some leeway, I suppose, for the pressure they're under right now. Mm-hmm. But that's no good to you when you're on the other end of the line, obviously.
No. And I just think it's ridiculous because I don't blame the pilots at all. I think they're doing exactly what they need to do to get, you know, what they're owed. I think it's ridiculous that the CEOs didn't have a backup plan and they didn't have any contingencies to make sure that all these people, like, it feels wrong that we can't get home. Like, we're not allowed to stay here, you know? So it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Yes, indeed. How long have you been planning the wedding?
About a year.
Yeah.
So
it's just incredibly bad luck because
Yeah, I know. Well, we had the best day, the sunniest day in Ireland. So the day was so beautiful. I'm so happy that they picked that day. But it's very unfortunate that, yeah, that this is all happening.
Had your family been, I mean, have you any Irish connections before you met your husband?
No, the way we met is I made a dating profile and moved my location over here, and we started talking and it worked out. So this is most of my family's first time being in Europe.
All right.
And it's just been, yeah, it's been such a process, and it's put a kind of a stain on coming back here, which is really unfortunate because I'm hoping to come here and be with my husband.
You're hoping to actually move to Ireland, are you?
Yes, that's the goal.
Okay, well, hopefully now a temporary dispute in Aer Lingus surely, hopefully it won't colour your entire view of the country.
Totally.
Your husband is from what part of the country?
He's from Naas, just outside of Dublin.
Okay, and would you be living in Dublin if you come back to us?
No, not Dublin.
did you say you're a surfer?
I'm a server, so I work in a restaurant.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to recommend.
No, I'm
going to recommend Sligo or Clare. There's plenty of restaurants here if that's where you want to continue your career, yeah. Melissa. So at the moment, how many of you are left in the country?
Currently, as far as I know, there's just two of us. I think my sisters have all rebooked on different airlines, which they were not reimbursed for their original flights with Aer Lingus. So they had to take that out of their own pockets as well. And then same with my mom. So I think she's on a flight now leaving to Amsterdam. But it was days after when she originally planned to go, and she's lost thousands of dollars.
And obviously all the hotel rooms in Amsterdam, mm-hmm. and the extra hotel rooms at home while she mm-hmm. was supposed to be in Amsterdam and all of that. And have mm-hmm. you been given any indication about refunds for all of this?
It was just the person that called me about 20 minutes ago asking for my reference number and saying, okay, I'll handle it. Bye-bye. And that's it.
Okay, because of course we have been in touch with Aer Lingus to see what their response to all of this would be. Mm-hmm. Melissa, the very best of luck and congratulations again.
Oh, thank you so much.
Listen, you will never forget your Irish wedding anyway.
No, that's absolutely true, yeah.
And it sounds like none of your relations will forget it either.
Oh, definitely not. They'll definitely be thinking twice about booking Aer Lingus in the future, that's for sure.
Okay. Melissa, thanks for that and the very best of luck, and we hope you get it sorted and get home in one piece.
Thank you.
Thanks for that. And okay, can I bring in Irene now? Irene, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Where are you from, Irene?
I'm from Dublin.
But you were due to fly from, you were in Toronto, you were in Canada.
Yeah, my sister lives in Toronto, so I was visiting her, and I was due to fly back on Friday the 21st.
So what happened?
Well, when we arrived at the airport, I discovered the flight had been cancelled. So that wasn't too bad. I went home with her that night, and later that night I got an email saying I was booked on a flight from Toronto to Montreal and then on to Dublin on Saturday.
Okay.
Later in the afternoon. So that was okay. Back to the airport. Go to Air Canada. We're booked to fly out on Air Canada. Air Canada have no reference of our booking, no tickets, nothing. I'm in Terminal 3 in Toronto with Air Canada. They say, I know nothing about you. You have to go back to Terminal 1 with your luggage to Aer Lingus.
So did you have some record of being told that you were on this Air Canada flight?
Yes.
So you had like a text message or an email?
Yes, an email. And when I tried to check in, they have my name on a flight list, but Aer Lingus hadn't processed any paperwork for us, any tickets, so Air Canada would have nothing to do with us.
Right.
So I go back to Aer Lingus and they book us into a hotel for the night and say we're on the flight the next day to Dublin.
Right.
And then we stay overnight in the hotel. Fortunately, I met a very nice group of people who were all really kind and helped me with, you know, technology. And it was fine. So Sunday morning, we're booked on a flight to go to Dublin, and we get an email in the hotel saying that flight is cancelled.
Oh my God, you must have thought, are we ever going to get home?
Perfect storm. So we all go trot out to the airport, and we were refusing to leave the airport. They're saying we'll book you on the Monday flight, and we're saying no, you won't. So we eventually got on an Air Canada flight to Heathrow, and from Heathrow to Dublin.
And are you saying that you had to sort of band together that group of you that had kind of met at the hotel?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
do a little mini protest there?
Well, at the airport.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we could still be at the airport. I mean, I could still be at the airport. So, but fortunately, now to be fair, the Aer Lingus check-in people, by the Sunday, they got to know us.
they were thinking, look who's coming now.
Yeah, exactly. They got to know the group. So they were actually very nice to us, and they did cut it all out on some kind of flight to somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, do you know what? I'm just going to say it now. Spare a thought for the poor people at the other end of these phone lines and at the check-in desks, and that are dealing with irate people and tired
Absolutely.
People and frustrated people.
Yeah.
And honestly, it is obviously not their fault. And I think, from what we're hearing, they are showing huge patience.
The people at the check-in desk were lovely and as helpful as they could be. There were no people on phones. We got no answers. I mean, a number of people said they hung on the phone for hours. No answer, nothing. You had to try and find a real person. And the problem was the Aer Lingus desks in the airport close at 4:30 in the afternoon. If you were unfortunate enough to not get back to the desk on time, you had nobody. There was another family I spoke to who had nobody to talk to. They had to go and find their own hotel.
That is just not acceptable, really, is it? And that's the story from Melissa as well. They had huge trouble actually talking to people, and they were saying once you'd actually get through, and then you'd be sent a link, and then the link wouldn't turn up, and you'd try again.
Yeah.
And I mean, that so adds to people's frustration, I think, when you are desperately trying to just find out what's going on.
And the stress.
Yeah. Exactly. I think once you know what's going on, you can kind of handle delays and that so much better, can't you?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, you can. But not knowing. And then particularly in my case, that I'm not that au fait with technology and all of that. So it was, you know, fortunately, I had a lovely girl who helped me. But if I hadn't, I would have been really up to 20.
So in terms of just is it with the app that you were having trouble?
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't have the app on my phone. And I didn't have to download boarding passes and all of that kind of thing. I'm an older lady, you see.
And I'm sure a lot of older ladies now would say, well, I have no problem with technology, Katie.
Well, I know. I don't all the time, but when you're...
But look, if you never needed to have the app before is the point,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So,
but
and so when you're saying upset and distressed.
Yeah, that's not when you want to be learning how to do something for the first time.
Yeah.
But you said somebody stepped in and actually just helped you out with all of that.
Yeah, she was wonderful. She really helped me out. And it wasn't just that. You see, it was a perfect storm thing in that I lost my credit cards on the flight on the way over.
Oh.
When they were putting us into a hotel, the hotel needed a credit card to verify, you know, they wouldn't wreck the place. But I had no credit cards. So she let me use her credit card, which was really very kind.
Oh,
otherwise,
So this is a total stranger. A total stranger.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's again, kindness of strangers, isn't it?
Really weird, because there was another guy, Kieran, who also was really helpful, and he was giving me his credit card. You know, people can be very nice.
Yeah, that's. I think people kind of do band together as well when you're sharing the adversity. You do kind of have a bond, don't you?
With
these people that you've never seen before in your life, but suddenly you're all in the same boat, literally.
Yeah.
So you got home anyway by putting up a big fight at the airport, the gang of you.
Yeah. No, we were very nice. It wasn't a big fight.
You put up a polite fight.
We put up a polite fight. We made ourselves heard or known.
Yeah. And
some of the employees there who worked in the airport said that we were very nice, because they usually don't mind having to deal with Aer Lingus cancellations, because sometimes they have to call the police and things. But they don't usually have to with Aer Lingus.
So that's an interesting observation for sure.
Yeah.
And it does kind of say maybe honey catches more flies than vinegar.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you all got on the flight, got back to London, and you made it home. You made it home, Irene. And I'd say never more relieved to get off that flight.
No, I'm still trying to cope with the jet lag.
Did you kiss the tarmac when you got off?
I was tempted.
Irene,
I have no desire to see an airport anytime soon.
I can just imagine. Irene, thanks so much for that. And we're delighted to get you back. And fair play to you for holding the line and pushing your case. It's obviously the way to do it in a nice way. Thanks, Irene. I've got Sinead on the other line now. Sinead, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
Sinead, how are you caught up in this?
I'm caught up in this. It's not, mine hasn't been as traumatic as the others. Mine, I arrived to Philadelphia Airport yesterday evening to check in to go to Dublin. Everything was fine. Checked in online. No problem whatsoever. Then sitting there was a massive storm last night. So, excuse me, all flights were grounded. So that was fine. We were told our flight had landed. They were going to change gate. And they let us know, but we were delayed. That's all fine. I looked down at my phone and I see a message from Aer Lingus saying your flight is cancelled, but nothing was said to us by the people there. So I waited, went up. They asked us not to go up to the desk. Then they just said, your flight's cancelled. Go to this desk here. You'll be assigned a hotel accommodation, all of that. They didn't assign hotel accommodation. They gave you a QR code. You had to book your own accommodation. That's fine. I did that. Now, there were huge delays, Katie. It wasn't all as plain sailing as all of that. Yeah. But the bottom line was, and it was a bit chaotic and there was problems with luggage, all of the rest. I get an email from Aer Lingus telling me they booked me in to fly back to Dublin tomorrow night. And I was like, oh, I've worked.
So that's two days that I've been delayed.
So then I came back to my hotel, I phoned my husband and I said, you know, I'm just going to go online and see if I can get a flight, you know, see what's coming up on Aer Lingus. And I was able to book a flight right there and then. I thought, you know what, I'm going to book this flight. It was 980 quid, a euro, I said, or dollars. I said, I'll book it. Went to get my credit card. And by the time I came back to hit confirm, it said your flight price has changed to $1,500.
Oh,
and I said, this is nuts. So I went and it was 2 a.m. here. So I phoned, I got someone in Aer Lingus. Someone answered the phone within about half an hour. So that was fine. I held on.
That was a triumph compared to what we've been hearing,
yeah,
Sinead.
It was. Exactly. So I was very lucky. So I got this guy. He said, I can route you through Boston and whatever. And I said, I'm looking at a flight here. Why can you not book me on that flight? I said, and he said, no, because that's probably business. I said, it's a smart fare. I said, I'm telling you now, I can book it. So please, what you explain to me why there is no reason, any reason why you can't book me on that or why I wasn't offered that because you've got seats. So and I said, you know, I have family commitments, I have other stuff. I said, and I was getting a little bit upset. I was frazzled. I was, you know, and he said, and I said, you should be able to book me on that. And he said, let me leave it with me. I'll speak to my supervisor. And he came back and he said, that's booked. You get your confirmation now. But the frustrating thing about it, Kate.
And you got it booked for the original seat?
For tonight.
For tonight.
Rather than tomorrow. You know, the flight was cancelled last night.
Okay.
So, you know, but my beef is that they had seats on that plane, Katie, and they didn't offer those seats to the people who were kicked off last night's flight. And then when I booked my flight, you know, he sent me the confirmation, no charge, no problem. When he sent me the confirmation, I thought, I'll just go back in. And I went back in and I looked and it said, it through Aer Lingus, but they were partnering with their American Airlines on that one, but it's the same flight, and $2,500.
Yeah, it's hard to understand. I mean, honestly, there's issues around how flights are booked and planes are filled and not filled and whatever mm-hmm. that I've never been able to understand, actually, for all sorts of reasons.
I
so I don't know. I would love to find out what the story there is for sure. Given given that when you pushed it, you did actually manage to get a seat on that plane.
Well, I was fortuitous that someone answered the phone. You know, number one. But I mean, I just felt, you know, I feel that there were people there last night. People could have been coming home for funerals. People, you know, people, maybe like the last girl who was on with you there, the lady who was on with you, maybe they didn't have a credit card. Maybe they didn't have the money to pay for an hotel. I mean, Aer Lingus basically said, we're not booking accommodation. Here's a QR code. Submit your name and address and your flight number, and we'll be in touch. And that was it. You're a booking. They said book your own accommodation, get your own hotel. So I had to get a taxi back into Philadelphia. I'm staying in this hotel. I get a taxi back out tonight. That's fine for me. But there are people who had no money, I'm sure.
Were you given reimburse you up into a certain limit, or were you told how much you could spend on that hotel overnight?
Nothing. And we were sitting there for 6 hours. Nobody said, here's a voucher for a cup of coffee. You know, not that I needed it, but maybe there were people there. There were a lot of young students there, you know, and there was a young lad sitting beside me, and I said to him, you know, he was like, oh my God, I don't know. I said, are you okay? Do you need some money? Do you need some help? And he said, no, I'm going to phone my dad. And I said, well, if you have any problems, come back to me.
Damn.
You know. So.
Yeah, I mean, all sorts of people are going to get caught up in this, as you say, and will be travelling for all sorts of reasons. And, you know, I'm thinking, I'm really thinking of people who, you know, have deadly, you know, there's some people who, you know, it'll mean they have to take an extra day off work or whatever.
Yeah, but same, like myself.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
you know, when you know, there will be people travelling, you know, for, you know, more difficult reasons, like for bereavements and for people being ill and all of that. And that is something that you would hope these people will be able to find somebody to prioritise them if they get
and
caught up in this.
There was an elderly couple there. And I mean, you know, they were phoning their daughter. The daughter was having to come back from wherever to pick them up. They didn't live local. And you just think, gosh. But I suppose my frustration was that there were seats on that flight and they didn't accommodate and they were selling them for outrageous amounts. So I suppose that's my beef because, to be honest, Katie, I'm very lucky. Now, I'm saying that to you now. I could be emailing you tomorrow and saying my flight's been cancelled and I'm in the same boat again.
But you're on that flight tonight now. As far as you know, you have a
allegedly.
Seat on a flight, allegedly.
Okay. And I'm checked in, allegedly.
Okay. Sinead, the best of luck. I hope you do make it home.
Thanks a million, Katie.
and fair play for pushing it and spotting that those seats were there and getting it sorted for yourself.
Yeah, that's just the frustrating part for me. I mean, I told my daughters, I put it in the family WhatsApp. I said, I've written into Joe Duffy, and they were like, oh my gosh, you know, they couldn't believe. I said, but someone has to bring it to light, you know.
Fair play, Sinead. We're delighted that you got in touch with us. We really do appreciate it because, as you say, people, you know, people need to know what's happening out there. Thanks for that, Sinead.
Yeah, exactly.
Best of luck. I hope you get on it.
Please God.
Take care.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Summer's here. Spruce up your bedroom for less with our sizzling summer sale offers at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Or you can text us to 51551. Now, I'm going to leave the Aer Lingus saga for now because I want to go to this other story. And just to say to listeners, before I go to this caller, this might be upsetting, particularly if you are a dog lover or an animal lover, or just generally, it's just beware that you may find this next story, it's extraordinary story. You might find it a little upsetting. Luis Eduardo, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi, how are you?
Louise, thank you so much for talking to us. You have an incredible story to tell. Take me back to what happened. You were outside your own house with your daughter, your little girl.
Yeah, we lived in Castroy. When it happened, I was with my daughter in the front of my house. So she was playing around my car, you know, was just running around my car. And there was a nice, just arrived a nice green car. So
there
a
was,
lot of kids.
Yeah, sorry, just to say, it was an ice cream van that was in the estate that you're living in. This is down in Limerick, isn't it?
Yeah, that's down in Limerick in Castletory. That's a place called Greenway Path that with people walking and cycling and walking with dogs and all. And there was an ice cream van. So plenty of kids came outside to buy ice cream. So, and it was around 6:30, I think. I was there playing with my daughter and I listened to ice cream. Some screaming and some kids crying.
Just because the line isn't fantastic, Louise. I'll just so you were outside. You were there with your own little girl, and you were heard a scream of some children screaming from over near the ice cream van.
No, it was from the Greenway. It's a place that people walk and through. You know.
Okay.
So the ice cream van was with kids. He was selling his ice cream for the kids, but that was the other side.
Okay.
So yeah, it was around 200 meters, 300 meters by. So at least a lady was screaming, with a kid was crying. For the first time, I saw two dogs, and I thought there was two dogs, the same owner fight between them. But I looked directly and I saw there was a pit bull there attacking the puppy, you know, that like a poodle.
Okay, so there was a poodle being attacked.
Yeah.
You could just make out being attacked by a pit bull.
A pit bull, a golden pit bull.
Pit bull terrier, yeah.
Yeah.
So this was, so you ran to intervene.
Yeah, I just saw and I ran to intervene and I let my daughter in front of the door. So I ran to intervene there, and the lady was trying to hit the pit bull to release the dog because he was cleaning the puppy. And I remember that I ran to them and I helped try to release the dog. At this moment, I didn't see that my daughter ran it after me. So he came to me, he saw I ran it, and he came to me. So, but I was with my attention to save the puppy's lives. And we could release the dog for the first time. And the puppy ran away. But he ran it away direct to my daughter. So I remember just to scream my wife and say, take her, take my daughter. She's called Zoe. Take Zoe, please. And
so just to be clear, so it was the puppy
yeah.
that got away and was running towards your daughter. What age is your daughter,
yeah.
Louise?
2 years old.
Oh.
2 years
so
old.
So obviously.
Yeah, a terrified moment for me.
Yeah. So you just saw this unfolding. And then what happened?
Then I could walk through as well and take my daughter, give it to my wife. And I remember that I kicked the pit bull, but he tore to the pup again. I think he was running to the pup, you know, to catch the pup. And he caught the pup again on the leg, and he,
just to say the puppy,
yeah.
the poodle, the little smaller dog, that dog,
yeah.
there was an owner with that dog, obviously getting very distressed at this stage. Was there anybody with the pit bull?
No, the pit bull was free. He had color, with the name and number of the owner, but he was free.
Right. Okay. So there was no owner with the pit bull.
No one.
Okay. So your daughter at this stage has been picked up at this stage, or where is she?
She was picked up at this stage. My wife picked my daughter and bring it home.
Okay.
And start to call the guard. At this moment, I start to try to fight with the pit bull to release this puppy. You know. So. I remember the first thing I saw there. It was the little boy who was attacked in People's Park here in Limerick, and the lady who was killed. So I was really afraid about my life, kids around, because there was a lot of kids. Even my daughter was safe. I could just walk through, but I tried to help because there was a lot of kids around. Around here, you know, around 25 kids, I would say.
Okay.
So I started to try to release the dog. I remember that the lady took a small scooter, and tried to hit. But even when he got the puppy, he would not release the puppy anymore. He would just stop when he finished to kill. He was really crazy, but pitiful. I remember that I tried to hit it. Yeah?
Yeah, I'm just saying, so you're using a scooter at this stage to try and hit the pit bull. And the pit bull is literally biting, like has latched on to the puppy at this stage.
Yeah, he was literally biting. So the lady used the scooter, and I saw a small bicycle, and I tried to hit as well because I have no skill for fighting or anything, you know.
Yeah.
But when I got this pretty just to save this puppy's life and to make sure everyone's safe, I tried to hit as well. But I remember the only thing that came in my mind was, oh, okay, he will not release, so I need to block his air and try to release, you know, the puppy and stop this, what's happening. So I put my arm on the neck and I tried to stop the pit bull to breathe, you know, the breathing.
So you actually leaned into this scenario and grabbed the pit bull by the neck and tried to stop the dog from...
Yeah, I grabbed by the neck. So I put a holder, you know, a zip holder position.
Yeah.
So, for the first moment, you know, I wish this not happen how it happened, but there was no other way to stop this. And it was really dangerous for the kids because there was kids from 2 years old till 10 years old. So... it was really a scary situation for us, you know.
But it seemed like it was a very dangerous thing to do for from your own point of view, to actually physically go in and grab the dog. That was in a kind of a frenzy, obviously, at this stage with the, you know, going after the puppy. Were you worried for your own safety when you were doing that?
I just was worried for the kids' lives, not for my own safety, you know. In this moment, I was thinking about the pit bull, if he could attack any other kids.
Yeah.
So I think I didn't realize what danger was that, because after that, I just saw, I put my life on danger, so... I need a laugh because it was a really bad situation. So
once you put the pit bull in an arm lock, basically.
Yeah.
And did he release the puppy right away?
No, he didn't. But the lady pulled out the puppy, and I listened like a sound, like broken bone, you know.
Yeah.
But not, like something like, and there is a lot of I remember there was a lot of glory from the puppy,
yeah.
And a piece of beef from the puppy as well. So I listened that the puppy is fine, the lady is fine. They went to the vet, but I didn't get any information from the lady and from the puppy. I just.
What did once the dog released the puppy, once the lady, the owner was able to pull the doggy, that dog away, what happened with the pit bull?
So once they released the dog, the pit bull tried to release from me. He was really heavy and he was really crazy. So I just could to put more power. And I asked it, but there was a cycling Irish guy there, and I asked it for help, like desperately help. And I remember she was screaming to him, please help me, because he will kill one kid here, a child.
Mm-hmm.
So I just hold as much power as I could. And I remember this guy helped me to hold my arm. So, yeah, the pit bull just got teased, you know, the teased there. So, but as I said, this was what I didn't want to happen.
Sure, what, as you say, you didn't want it to happen. But what ultimately did happen is that the pit bull died.
Sorry?
The pit bull died.
Yeah, he died.
Yeah. And as I say, you say that wasn't your intention, but that was ultimately.
Yeah, you know, if it was, or I had no choice because I didn't know if he got released, if he could attack me or attack the kids. Even I was screaming for the kids, go inside, they wasn't released at all. They are still on the street. So it was, I just think about to keep them safe, you know.
We did talk to the guards about what happened. They confirmed, Louise, they said that they were alerted. As you said, your wife actually called the guards. They said they were alerted to an incident involving two dogs at a residential estate in Castle Troy on Tuesday. A dog which was in the control of its owner was attacked by a second dog. The offending dog was restrained by a number of persons in the area. No persons were injured during the course of the incident. The dog, which was attacked, was seriously injured. Investigations are ongoing in relation to this matter, and they say the offending dog is now deceased, which is just what you told us there. You would love to know, though, Louise, wouldn't you, if how the puppy is, if the puppy survived and if the puppy is okay now?
Yeah, I would love to know, because I just would like to know if the puppy's fine, if there is anything that I can do for the lady or for the puppy, you know. Thinking about how scared is to her as well, and for his daughter, his son,
yeah.
Because I think his son is 3 or 4 years old, I don't know. But, you know, it's really, I've never seen a situation like, for me, it's making me scared. I couldn't sleep for 3 or 4 nights, you know, so
it is for sure a very, very scary, scary situation. And I mean, fair play to you for intervening. It is, I can't imagine a scenario where you could actually jump in and actually grab a dog like that. And I don't know if it would be generally advised, but you did what you thought was right at that exact moment, Louise. And I hope that other little dog did manage to survive, and maybe your intervention could have saved the day there. Thank you, Louise. Thanks for telling us that story.
No problem. I'm so thankful for your help and for letting everybody know what exactly happened.
Yeah.
Thank God that everything was fine. I think God gave me power, because I didn't have any power to hold this kind of dog, you know.
Yeah. Thanks, Louise. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Experience summer comfort for less. Explore our sale on curtains and bedding. Perfect time to update and freshen your home.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And we were talking to some people affected by the Aer Lingus dispute there just at the top of the programme. Just a brief statement from Aer Lingus. Aer Lingus apologises for the serious disruption caused to customers arising from the industrial action. We appreciate that this is a hugely stressful. This is hugely stressful for them. We are aware of this customer's circumstances. This is Melissa, who was here for her own wedding and was having massive problems trying to get all her guests back home. She said our contact centre has spoken with them yesterday to help resolve the issues. Where customer flights have been impacted by disruption, our policy is to accommodate a change to the original flights for free, issue a refund, or issue a voucher to the customers. Our customer teams are working through the cases of all impacted customers. Again, we apologise for the impact on customers arising from the industrial action, and that is what Aer Lingus are saying to us today. But of course, we're all keeping our fingers crossed that some progress will be made in those talks that were underway again today. Okay. Now, I want to go to another hot issue for people, particularly after the weekend we've just had. Catherine, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Catherine, I'm grand.
Good for you. You're great.
We were in, I was in Croke Park yesterday for one of the worst matches I've ever seen Kerry play, even though we got the result.
A true Kerry woman, I know. Tell me about it. My dad is only 93 years of age. A true Kerry man, I tell you. Yeah, it's great that you got to go to the match, Katie. That's wonderful. Good for you. And well done, Kerry, of course, the kingdom.
Indeed. But a lot of people did not get to see the matches they wanted to see this weekend.
Gosh.
So your dad is from...
Oh, my dad is from Brockara in South Kerry. He's the famous Joe White, the cyclist.
Yeah.
93 years of age, and really upset that this GABO has denied the nation of the country their national game to see it, you know, really and truly. My little granddaughter is living on Inishbofin in Galway, and you can imagine the triumph and the cry there in Galway with the win. And they, you know, people couldn't see it. You know, my God.
I did think of all the matches, that have not been on the television, the Galway one. Like, I think, like, for people, we'll be talking about that match for a long time. And
of course they will. Yeah.
As you say, it was only available on GAA Go. Tell me about your dad. So he's obviously a Kerry supporter.
Oh, absolutely. True and true. And he was just disgusted at this GAA. I mean, we did see the Sunday game. Thankfully, they actually showed the match. And one of the reasons behind it is because they paid great tribute to another wonderful Kerry man, Micheál Ómarahartig.
Yeah.
Fantastic, amazing, amazing Kerry man. These Kerry fellas, I don't know what the gene is, Katie. I'm so thankful I have some of it in me. No, but going back to the GABO, something has to be done, Katie. It's, you know, it's just not right. One of the things I'm really concerned about, we've got the big semi-finals coming up, and we have the big finals coming up. Are they going to go behind GAA Go walls again for people to be denied access to see these games? The national game, it's an absolute disaster.
And
something
would,
has to be done about it.
Would your father, obviously, as you say, he's in his 90s now, but would he have always tried to make it up for the matches, you know, when he could?
Oh, yeah, well, he's living here in Dublin, Katie, and, you know, and we're not too far away from Croke Park. But it's just, you know, the elderly of our country, you know, are entitled to see the national game. And to deny them the game, you know, talk about paying TV licence, no disrespect, and property taxes, if you don't mind, at 93 years of age, they still have to pay their property tax. That's another issue, should be brought into Liveline. But, no, it's just the GAABO thing is, you know, really should be looked. I know Micheál Martin tried to, but I'm sure he attended matches and all the TDs got their seats in Croke Park and what have you. But this GAA belongs to the people. It's a national game. It belongs to the people. The players that are on the pitch, you know, are there training night and day and giving it everything that they can to play the game and, you know, to be in Croke Park or wherever they are. But, I mean, to deny the nation the national game because of filthy lucre, it's just not right, Katie. It's just not right, you know. And I'm thinking of the elderly of our country in particular. All their lives was the Sunday game, you know, and the team coming up and watching the games, et cetera, et cetera. It was a focal point, even better than the weather, you know, yes. That people would discuss the matches and who is this and who is that. But the Galway one was a real disaster. I hope to God they're not denied now to see the semi-final coming up against Donegal, because really, GAA better have a rethink. it's just not right, Katie. You know,
when those big matches aren't on the television. It's when you'd really feel it. Because I mean, you've heard all the arguments for the GAA go that there's a lot more matches actually available and televised now because it's on. You know that they're available on the internet and there's matches that would never ever be on, you know, would have cameras at them are now available if people really want to see them and they pay that subscription for GAA Go. You know all of that, but obviously it's when those big matches that people would never have imagined would not be televised that it's when you're at the All-Ireland quarter-final point of the championship, you do kind of expect to be able to turn on the telly and watch a match.
It's absolutely shocking. And I mean, you know, why hold the nation to ransom? You know, like we know what's going on in the country at the moment. But it's €175 for an annual ticket for GAA Go. Who has the €175 to, in their back pocket? It's a bit of, you know, I won't say what I'd like to say, but, you know, really, you know, and particularly, Katie, I'm thinking of, you know, the people who have all their lives given to the GAA, grow up with the GAA, you know, given their heart, soul and strength to GAA, and now they're having to pay to watch games.
It's
brought into question, Katie.
That is a huge bugbear for a lot of people who actually volunteer, because, of course, GAA is built on the back of volunteers, and that's the whole ethos of that organisation, and for sure it is... It does stick in the craw of a lot of people.
It's just not right. Yeah, it's just not right, Katie. You know, here we are, our national game being, you know, preyed upon for, if you like, filthy lucre. And, I mean, really and truly, I mean, what's the idea of making money? Why can we not just respect the national game and support for everything that it is and everything that it does, which it has been throughout, and very thankful for the GAA for doing that. But this Go thing has gone a bit too far.
Yeah. I will say again, though, Catherine, honestly, you didn't lose much by not being in Croke Park yesterday for that game. It was honestly one of the most dull matches I have ever actually sat through. But again, it's a game. It's the All-Ireland quarterfinal.
Yeah, but Katie, people wanted to see it. This is a ploy now with the teams holding the ball in one area, playing the ball amongst themselves. They're all at it. I mean, all of them are at it. I even tear my hair out looking at it. I said, what are you doing? Kick the ball, play the ball, you know? But no, this thing of playing the ball amongst themselves, you know, delay tactics. That again, I mean, we'll go.
That's a whole other day's work. Tell me though, I believe your father has a great sporting history himself.
He's an amazing guy. He's a world champion title. He's a first man ever to cycle 100 miles in under 4 hours. And his name, you'll probably know him, Katie, Joe White. He's from Bacara, between Sneem and Caradanio. An amazing South Kerry man.
Incredible.
And Rishi Fogarty actually wrote about him in his book, The Famous Rishi. And he actually has a chapter dedicated to my dad, the unknown hero. But he's an amazing guy. I could go on and go on, Katie. But a true athlete at 93 years of age. He's amazing.
And how did he get into the cycling? Because, I mean, I wouldn't have thought...
Oh, he cycled for the Air Corps. He got involved with the Air Corps and he cycled for the Air Corps. And he was, he actually was in the Rosslyn because he had a bad crash. That was the end. He was coming into NACE, I think, in one of the last stages and had a bad crash. Mm-hmm. That was the end of his Ross career. But he did win the... they used to do it in those days, 1952, 53, 54. They did the national road races. And this is where he accumulated the time trials for the world title. first man ever, as I said, cycle 100 miles in under 4 hours. And that cycle hasn't been beaten. I don't know if it has been beaten yet. But he's quite an amazing man. And he wrote a book, The Ghost Rider and I. And it'll tell you all about him, his career and what he did for this country, of course.
That is fantastic. So,
and absolutely amazing. Very proud Kerry man and married to a wonderful Dublin woman.
And another mixed marriage, Catherine.
Absolutely, absolutely. But you see, this is the quality in the blood, you see. Yeah. He's an amazing guy.
That is fantastic. So the first person... Yeah. ever to cycle 100 miles in under 4 hours.
That's correct.
Fantastic, Joe White.
There was another cyclist and a Kerry man to boot. There was another cyclist, Joe Beatty in England, who tried to claim that title, but it turned out to be my dad beat him by millimetres of seconds. But anyway, that's it. Yeah, and there you go. He's a true Kerry man. True. And my grandparents are actually buried out in the Abbey in Carrigdaniel.
One of the most beautiful parts of the country down there around Carrigdaniel.
The roots go back.
And come here, the 4 hour, where did he actually do it? Was that televised? Catherine.
Oh no, not in 1952. No. I mean, he cycled for the national team. You know what I mean? And he cycled for the Air Corps, and they were a pretty amazing team as well too. But that in 1952, basically it was time trials, road racing. Yeah. But he actually trained with the famous Shay Elliott. They used to train together up in the Wicklow Mountains, and his heart and soul is cycling, and he's an amazing guy. But he's still here. He wrote a great book, The Ghost Rider and I, and he tells basically who he is and what he is. But he did that about maybe 3 years ago, my dad, uh-huh. Published a book.
Oh, fantastic. and he was almost 90 at that stage.
Oh, he would have been, yeah. He has a tale to tell, a very long tale. We could go on and go on, but there's a lot more to the man, but he's an amazing guy. But the life of him, you know, like hurting to think, you know, thank God the Kerry match was on yesterday. But I mean, my little granddaughter, Nana, it wasn't, we couldn't see Galway. And I thought, for God's sake, this is crazy. Yeah. I mean, people are hurting because they can't see these matches, you know, and it's an emotional thing, really. But
it goes very deep for people, for sure.
It goes down to the roots, Katie.
Okay.
It's what we are. It's part of who we are, you know, our culture, basically.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my gripe at the moment.
Catherine, thanks a million. And lovely to hear about your dad, Joe White, and regards from us here. And just before you go, I should clarify, it is not €175 for the GAA Go. It's actually a snip at €120. It's €120 for an annual subscription to GAA Go. But as you say, that might be beyond some of our listeners. And that was Catherine there and her lovely dad, Joe White. Thomas, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Tell me, what's your issue then? You think it should be on Sarahview?
That is correct, yeah. I've been listening to the controversy about GAA Go now for the last number of months, and my impression is that it's the inconvenience of setting up the connection when they want to see a match rather than the cost of it. And the most convenient way to do it is to have GAA Go as a pay-per-view channel on Sarahview, as I understand was the original intention when Sarahview was set up, that there would be a pay-per-view facility there. But it was never implemented.
Oh, I didn't know that. Was that part of the discussions originally, was it?
Originally, and then it was dropped. That's my understanding, yes. So were that to be in place and were you to have a pay-per-view channel available, then whoever wants to watch it can watch it on their own television, which I think is where people actually want to watch matches.
As long as they pay the €120, of course, is the other.
Well, or they could pay per match, whichever they wanted to do. But yes, correct.
You're right, though, I think, about that, because I've heard of so many cases now of people saying that they had the subscription and they just got frustrated trying to set it up, that they, you know, they weren't familiar enough with the technology and they just were kind of frightened of the technology, I suppose, if you're not used to doing it.
Correct. For a lot of people, the technology is daunting, and unless they're doing it all the time, they just get confused, right? Whereas if you have it on Sarahview, even if they don't set it up themselves, it'll be tuned once and it'll be there forever. So all they have to do is select that channel the same as they select RT1 or whatever channel they want to watch normally.
Yeah, I'm thinking now all the people around the country who dread that phone call on match day from their dad saying, can you come around? I can't get it. What am I doing wrong? Would be very delighted to hear that it was on Serviceview and they could tell him just to go to that channel.
Absolutely. And like while we all love to go around to our parents and do all of this for them, unfortunately, they normally come at the wrong time, just when you're doing something else. But yes, you're correct. You would gladly go around and set it up for them once, knowing that every time they want to use it now, they can use it the same as they use any other channel. That would be the ideal situation.
Thomas, thanks for that. That's an idea. I wonder, has it been thought about? I'll bring in Michael first. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. Talking to you here from just over the Limerick-Kerry border. Not too far from Douala.
I was going to say, it sounds very close to home indeed. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I'm just talking there in relation to the Diego, and I listened to that woman there with the Kerry Connections, and she said that she was very disappointed with the Diego, which most people are. But one thing she'd want to realise is that the chairman of the Kerry County Board, about 6 weeks ago, appeared in Kerry's eye, saying that the GAA was here to stay, that the county boards, that was the only way they could get in the revenue to pay for the stadiums. So, when you're on county board, coming up with that kind of a statement, you're not going to get anywhere.
It has to be said, I've heard people say they really like GAA though, because they see matches they wouldn't normally. So from some of the counties that maybe you wouldn't normally be expecting to see the match on RT on the Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I suppose that is a good point. But I would agree with your previous speaker there, where he said that if they had it on Serviceview, it would make you could just tune into it and have your television. The big problem seems to be is where the reception goes dead in the middle of it. People are complaining about that. That seems to be a huge problem, especially in dense areas. You look at an area down around South Kerry, down around Port McGee and Kells and all that country down there, where you have huge hills. That's where they're losing. They're losing the signal hugely. And the other thing is that the GA are not acute enough to certain games they put behind a paywall. I mean, they had the Limerick Cork game behind it where people would pay any kind of money to see it. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I think that's where it rankles with people. I think it's the games they really, really want to see can often be the one that's behind the paywall, which I think that does, people do kind of feel, is there a cynicism about that? But I mean, it is. I mean, the GA and indeed RTE have been, I've been clear about it. It is a commercial operation, GAA. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, and another thing, TG Carr, I've seen something there on the paper the other day, said they were never contacted about covering the game. But in fairness to TG Carr, they're doing a fantastic job. When the championship is over, they move in there to the clubs and county finals, and they do all the under-20s and the minors and all that. And they've made a statement. They mentioned the other day that they were never asked, did they want to tender for the GAA? For the senior championship.
Yeah, it's always this time. I'm sure we had the same rows this time last year. I mean, there was a huge amount of talk. And earlier on in the season, of course, it's the hurling counties that were, and hurling fans that were feeling very, very put upon because they just, that's as much to do, I think, with the way that the entire season has been concertinaed into such a small space of time.
Oh, the total condensed season has ruined everything, really. And like the one of the best games, the only good game in Munster this year in the Munster Football Championship was the Cork Kerry game in Killarney, which went behind the paywall again.
Yeah, that was one.
I mean, we all remember 45,000-50,000 packing into Fitzgerald Stadium for a Munster final when people came from all over the country to see, and that was the only game we had this year, and that was put behind the paywall again.
Yeah,
for most people.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, this is one that's going to go on and on, Michael. I wonder, as you say, when you've got county board chairs coming on endorsing it. I think maybe the GAA are digging in on it.
Oh, I'd say that. The only one that seems that I have given that has come out consistently against is the former president, Sean Kelly.
Yeah.
Because
Sean Kelly now being a politician, of course, which might have something to do with it.
He probably would. It probably means worse for him, but like, why would that? where would have the club, we'll say the club championship and all that, where would that be today on your first hand, Kelly?
Yeah, indeed. Listen, I've got Alan on the line. Stay there, Michael. Alan,
right, okay, Cathy, thank you.
Stay there, Michael, a second, because I've got Alan who thinks, I think we might have lost Michael there. Alan.
Hi, Katie, how are you?
You're fed up with people complaining about GAA Go.
I am indeed. I'm not a GAA fan, okay?
Okay.
And my particular sport, which I follow avidly, is rugby.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to follow all of your rugby matches, well, then you have to pay for some of them. And, like, people go on about GAA being a national sport, which I recognise that it is. And if you take soccer, which is, people would say it's a national sport of the UK, probably Italy, Spain, France, they all have to pay for all of their matches. So I think people really need to step into the, you know, the modern world, accept a bit of reality.
But Malin, now, the difference there is they're two professional sports. The people who pay, play those sports are paid, you know, in the UK's situation, enormous amounts of money.
Yes.
It's built on volunteers. It's played by amateurs. Surely you can't play by the same rules.
Well, let's go back to rugby then. And so while our rugby players get paid a fee, it's not an exorbitant fee and nothing like the soccer that we were talking about. And a lot of rugby is run by volunteers. So there is similarities there. Now, not exactly the same, but there are similarities there. And I still think there's more GAA matches now than ever with different competitions which have been added in. It's not possible for RT or anybody to televise every match that's available.
Okay, well, you hang on there, Alan, because I've a couple of people who might take issue with that, but I need to take a very quick break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Summer's here. Spruce up your bedroom for less with our sizzling summer sale offers at harrycurry.com.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Alan was there basically saying, look, rugby fans and football fans are, you know, think nothing now of paying for, you know, having some of the games behind paywalls and paying to see their sport that they love. So why do GAA fans feel so special? Have we still got Michael there? Yeah, Michael.
Yes, Cathy.
Does Alan have a point there?
Oh, he does. Of course he has a point. But the point I'm making here is that the games are selected, the ones that bring in the most money for GAA Go. We'll say particularly the Holland games that were on there during the year. They were games that would be people would pay any kind of money in any kind of a platform to get those. That wouldn't put an Leinster Championship game behind a paywall, a football game that evening. I think the GAA are using this exactly to get as much money as they possibly can out of this. But I think that's the bottom line.
I suppose the thing is, why would they bother putting a game that nobody would pay to see behind a paywall? Is the other side of that? On a pure commercial basis, it would seem a crazy thing to do. You would definitely have to find that they would be interested in it. I've got John on another line. One second, John.
I have a speaker on now, Casey, because I have hearing aids, so I wouldn't hear much if I put the phone up to my ears. Is that affecting the sound there?
I think we can, the sound is okay, John. Keep going.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm angry as well. I'm down in Cork, and I think the genuine GAA supporters are being treated very, very badly. People that put all their life, countless work for no money, volunteers, as that man was saying, into the GAA, and they're forgotten about them. There's people, I'm lucky, I had a travel pass and I'm still able to go to matches, but there was a lot of matches involving Cork that were forgotten about for people down in the fringes of West Cork where they might have internet and they have to look at it in a small phone, you know, which it's very unfair.
Yeah, I think that this was a very sore topic for a lot of hurling fans. At the start of the hard end of the season, because there was that issue as well that you physically could not find space on TV for the number of matches that had to be catered for because of the way the season was managed.
Well, I suppose if the GAA picked the matches at the right time to and matched it in, no. But even, for instance, now they're charging €100 to the ounce for a ticket for the All-Ireland. Like, that is exploitation of it, because if you have a family, you bring four or five to Dublin with the price of hotel points, it could cost you €2,000. That's very unfair for people that travel to matches and follow their team all around the country.
I suppose they could say the opposite of that then. They say if people are willing to fork out money to see a team in Croke Park or live, you know, it's small beer in comparison to what people are being asked to pay for GAA Go and to watch it on their own screen.
Well, I suppose it is. I was scammed. I went to the Liverpool-Manchester City match in England and I got a scam ticket, and there were three girls from Belgium at the desk as well, and I got it from someone that recommended this guy, and I paid €500 for the ticket, would you believe?
Oh, my gosh. A sickener.
And everyone said, you dare not tell it to me. He said, what kind of a fool are you? Where do you get that money? It was one match that everyone wanted to see, and I suppose that's the opposite. I was prepared to pay it, but the vibes wasn't great, but I ended up flying over there, seeing no match, standing in the rain for the first half, trying to process the ticket, and I went home with my tail between my legs. We drew anyway, but it wasn't too bad. You know?
Oh, geez, John. That's a whole other day's work. Listen, John, thanks for that. I have to take my last break. This debate will go on and on.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And that's it for today. On sound, we had Chris O'Connor. Our broadcast coordinator was Andrew McDermott. And today's programme was produced by Dave Sherry. Stand by now. Foray.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Summer's here. Spruce up your bedroom for less with our sizzling summer sale offers at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.